You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. Hope you're having a good morning. In the midst of a divorce, freshman Democratic member of Congress Katie Hill of the Antelope Valley and surrounding communities has had several claims about her personal life that have been made at redstate.org, a conservative site. The claim involves that Hill allegedly had a romantic relationship with her legislative director. Having a relationship with a staffer in Congress, it was banned as a result of new rules that were passed earlier this year in the House of Representatives. After the publication in Red State, Congresswoman Hill responded with a statement. She sent this to us. It reads, "Intimate photos of me and another individual were published by Republican operatives on the internet without my consent. I have notified Capitol Hill police, who are investigating the situation and potential legal violations of those who posted and distributed the photos, and therefore will have no further comment on the digital materials. The fact is, I'm going through a divorce from an abusive husband who seems determined to try to humiliate me. I am disgusted that my opponents would seek to exploit such a private matter for political gain. This coordinated effort to try to destroy me and people close to me is despicable and will not succeed. I, like many women who have faced attacks like this before, am stronger than those who want me to be afraid. Allegations that I have been involved in a relationship with Mr. Kelly are absolutely false. I am saddened that the deeply personal matter of my divorce has been brought into public view, and the vindictive claims of my ex have now involved the lives and reputations of unrelated parties. This smear campaign will not get in the way of the work I am doing every day to move our district and our country forward. I am truly grateful for the outpouring of support I have received from colleagues and constituents alike, and I know we will get through this together. Onward." Joining us is Congressional Bureau Chief for Politico, John Bresnahan. John, thank you for joining us. So what do we know about the potential investigation into the release of these photographs, as well as the claim that the Katie Hill denies that there was a personal relationship with a staffer?
Well, as you noted, this is a shocking episode, and the allegations are very serious. Right now, the U.S. Capitol Police are looking into the allegations, or into the how this photo surfaced, and they are investigating. The U.S. Capitol Police is actually a large police force, and they're pretty sophisticated. They're actually as big a police force as the city of Cleveland. And they have some cybersecurity element, and they also work with the FBI and other federal agencies. So they're looking into this because, of course, revenge porn, so-called revenge porn, is illegal. Posting that and disseminating it is illegal. So they're looking into that. Now, the allegations that the congresswoman is had a relationship with a staffer. Now, a congressional staffer, that, of course, would be improper. That would be a violation of ethics rules if it did occur. She says it has not happened. There is no evidence that it's happened as far as we can tell. But I think this will probably be something that gets further scrutiny down the line. It's too early to tell right now. But just in the wake of, you know, repeated congressional scandals on in terms of interaction between members and staff, over the years, they'll probably look into this.
I can't remember a similar circumstance where you have a member of Congress who has allegedly been targeted as part of a divorce action in such a personal way. In the years that you've been covering this, John, do you recall anything like this?
I do. Not quite these circumstances, but there have, over the years, there have been scandals, sex scandals that have come out of divorces. I remember, or relationships that have gone bad. There was a congressman named Don Sherwood. He was a Republican. He had allegedly choked his mistress, and he paid her off. And that came out when she didn't get when they broke up, she put that information out. There was also in the 80s, there were sex scandals on this. I mean, so there have been various, there's been bad divorces that have spilled over into politics. I remember one congressman from Maryland, Al Wynn, a Democrat, his wife actually cut robocalls for his opponent because she was so angry.
Wow.
So there's been over the years, these, you know, this has occurred, but again, to see a photo like this is shocking. And then we are talking about a freshman member, a historic member, in a sense, she's identifies as bisexual. And the allegations, there was two relationships she's alleged to have had, according to these stories, one with a campaign staffer, and that also involved her husband, who is there in the middle of a divorce proceeding. And then there's a separate allegation with a concurrent congressional staffer. So, I mean, this is very serious stuff. It's ugly stuff. Divorce proceedings can often get ugly, as we all know. We've seen it in families or friends or people have experienced it themselves.
Yeah, and I guess I wonder if, you know, this kind of stuff matters to your constituents or just feel like this is deeply unfair for her to have to go through this. Let me bring into the conversation to talk about the ethics of how this is covered, what Red State did with publishing the intimate photos, as well as a series of texts that are purported to be between the congresswoman and someone she's involved with. Jane Kirtley, professor of media ethics and law at the University of Minnesota School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Professor, good to have you with us again. Obviously, we're in a whole new social media age where people can do this type of stuff and try and harm someone else. What's media's responsibility in your view?
I think the toughest thing about this, at least to begin with, is trying to verify whether there's any basis for the allegations. I can't take a position on this particular case, but I guess what I would say is that journalists have an obligation, ethical obligation, and probably a legal one too, to make an attempt to verify that what they're seeing is what it purports to be. In this era of deep fake technology, Photoshop, things like that, it is really possible for people to fabricate photographs and pass them off as something that they aren't, or even to take a true photograph out of context. You mentioned the issue of revenge porn. I mean, there's a reason that 46 states and the District of Columbia have various kinds of laws criminalizing this, and I think we have to stop and think. Yes, journalists are not bound, for example, by the laws of evidence that would be presented in a court of law, but surely we have some obligation to verify that what we're passing along to people, we've at least made an attempt to verify the source and as best we can to verify whether the allegations have any kind of basis. Again, I can't take a position in this particular case. It does seem to me that, as was mentioned earlier, it's not that this is a new issue. It's just that it's a new issue in the context of new media. For me, the fundamental question beyond what I already said is how important is this likely to be to the constituents for this particular representative? I think, you know, it's tough to respond to that question because different people are going to respond in different ways. One of the things I always ask is this someone who has sought election based on family values, follow conventional wisdom, that kind of thing. Is that the basis? It doesn't really sound like it to me, given that this congresswoman has, you know, openly presented herself as bisexual and so forth. On the other hand, I think anything that's going to spark a congressional ethics investigation, if it's important enough for them to pursue the investigation, then people need to know about it.
All right. And I also wonder about, you know, the fact this came out in a publication or online website that has a particular political bent. Should that affect how it's dealt with in so-called mainstream media?
Well, I think one of the issues that always arises in these cases is that if the mainstream media don't report it, they get accused by those on a particular political viewpoint of censoring the news. I've seen that many, many times, and I'm sure you have too. I don't think it's censoring the news to not jettison your journalistic standards before you report something. I mean, that's what led to the whole Pizzagate discussion, where totally, you know, spurious allegations were being made and took on a veneer of legitimacy because the mainstream media were publishing it. You know, I don't know what Red State's vetting process is to try to determine the accuracy of these photographs. I would hope that they would be using journalistic that would say, you know, we've got to check it out before we report it.
And you mentioned in the Congresswoman's statement, she indicates these were intimate photos. We'll continue with Jane Kirtley of the University of Minnesota. Our thanks to John Bresnahan of Politico. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. So I'd like to hear from you as an Air Talk listener what you think of the ethical issue, how a story like this should be dealt, and how should the whole thing be handled in your view. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. I have to admit, it's difficult to see someone's contentious divorce play out publicly, and we're talking about the case in which a freshman member of Congress, Katie Hill of the Antelope Valley area, is having to deal with this. She's put out a statement in regard to a couple of photos, intimate photos that were published on a conservative website, Red State, as well as allegations about her personal life. And she has denied that she is engaged or was engaged in an affair with a congressional staff members of hers, which would be a violation of House rules. My question is, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with someone's private life being put out there visually like this? And is this something that news media really should not be talking about at all, since there is an allegation, unsubstantiated, of a relationship that would be a violation of House rules? Should that be reported on or not? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Katie Hill is asking that there be a legal investigation into how the intimate photos made their way into the possession of the website that published them, although blurred. And as we just heard from Politico's John Bresnahan, the overwhelming majority of states now have laws against revenge porn, and that there's legal culpability for attempting to harm someone by releasing intimate photos without the individual's consent. We're at 866-893 KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. I'm joined by media ethicist and professor at the University of Minnesota School of Journalism and Mass Communication, law professor Jane Kirtley. Professor, it seems like we're only going to have more of these cases where, you know, intimate aspects of a public figure's lives are put out there for consumption. And beyond revenge porn laws and things like that, are there other sorts of checks or controls that can be put on this?
Well, the short answer is you're sitting in California, which probably has some of the most robust privacy protection legislation in the country. I mean, yes, they've got a revenge porn law, but they've also got a lot of other laws that deal with the perception of violating somebody's right to keep their personal life private. So there are probably California laws that would be helpful in this case, but we also just have something, you know, very simple, like the issue of, for example, Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. If somebody hacked into a computer, that would be a federal crime, not just a state offense. So there are any number of possible ways that this could be dealt with, this particular case. What, of course, worries me a little bit from my kind of journalist hat perspective is I'm wondering if as this investigation heats up, the criminal investigation that was referred to earlier that apparently the Capitol Police are starting to conduct, is whether Red State is going to find itself facing a subpoena to try to determine who was the source of these photographs. Not because necessarily their acceptance of them would be a violation of the law, but because whoever sent them to them might have broken the law themselves and they'll want to find out who it was.
Also, these purported texts that Red State published, could that also potentially be a violation of the law?
Yes, there are a number of laws that deal with hacking into telephone, text conversations, so forth. So if you've got a situation where you can demonstrate that this was done, there's certainly federal law that deals with this, and there might be applicable state statutes as well. So, you know, without even getting into the content of the material, there may have been a violation of the law simply if there was phone hacking involved.
All right, we're at 866-893-KPECC, a chance for you to share your thoughts about how to cover a story like this, which gets into someone's private life that has led Congresswoman Katie Hill to issue her statement in which she denied she was involved in a romantic relationship with a member of her House staff, which also claims that she has been targeted by an abusive estranged husband involving the intimate photos and other allegations about her personal life. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. It's a chance for you to weigh in on this and the allegations. You know, allegations in terms of her personal romantic life, nothing having to do with the House. You know, I just wonder, Jane, if you know, people are going to care about this. Does this, you know, particularly to Democrats who have been fairly open about how people choose to live their lives, gender identity, sexual identity, and the like, in terms of any, you know, political response to this, would you expect this would potentially be damaging to her or not?
I think it depends on her constituency and what their expectations are. I mean, some of them are probably very comfortable with, her statement about what her sexual orientation is and the nature of her marriage and things like that. Other people may consider it a disqualifier for public service. It's tough. And I mean, I've been doing this kind of work for a very long time. And I remember back when Gary Hart was seeking the nomination for President of the United States, compromising photos of him with a woman who was not his wife on a boat called the Monkey Business basically torpedoed his political career. So this is not a new issue. I think ultimately for me, and I can't speak for her constituents, the question is always going to be hypocrisy. Do you have somebody who is presenting themselves as one thing and conducting their private life in another way? Do you have someone who is legislating or supporting policies that discriminate against a particular group and acting in a way that basically is getting them a free pass from conduct that they are trying to prohibit for other people? To me, that's when it's relevant. But obviously, every voter has his or her own litmus test as to what's important in terms of qualifications or not. I mean, remember, I'm in Minnesota, and we faced the controversy surrounding our Senator Al Franken, who resigned rather than to face an ethics investigation. So, I mean, this is a very charged issue, obviously, and while I don't have any idea about what is ultimately going on here in the broader sense, it certainly is an area of vulnerability for politicians where they can easily be attacked by their opponents.
Writing on the AirTalk page, Curtis Ann writes, "This is the way right-wing conservative Republicans roll. They release unvetted, irrelevant, salacious dirt on opponents, knowing our news media, including NPR, will repeat unproven charges over and over again while taking cover within presenting both sides' justification. This is straight out of the Trump playbook, exactly what he's trying to do with Joe Biden." That's Curtis Ann writing on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. BB Steve writes, "Rags have been doing this this for how many years now? National Enquirer comes to mind first. It's all fair game when in the spotlight. If Hill did not want the attention, she should have stayed away from the sexual gas burner. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Share with us your thoughts about this and whether you think that this is all fair game or not. We have John who says the private sex lives of politicians have been fair game for journalists since Gary Hill got caught having an extramarital affair. In fact, Katie Hill's situation, if true, is more egregious than the Hart situation because Hart's alleged conduct did not involve violations of the law and of congressional ethics rules. The only question, though, John, is what is the source of this? Where does this come from? And what are the motives of the person making the allegation? And Jane Kirtley, we just don't have access to that.
Well, we don't. I mean, I think we have to be a little careful about going too far down the road on motivations because, as you know, President Trump has been arguing that the whistleblower's motivations are critical, whereas others have argued, no, it's the nature of the allegations themselves. I think we have to be very clear about how we're going to parse these kinds of things. But I do agree that, for me, there's a distinction between something that's going to be triggering a House ethics inquiry versus something that is really a matter between, frankly, a divorcing couple and whoever else might be involved in their relationship.
Well, and you know, one of the things that's kind of strange here is, as you know, over many years in Congress, there have been relationships between elected officials and members of their staff, including some very prominent members of Congress who were known to engage in this. And, you know, it's only recently, as I understand it, that a rule was passed against what is alleged in this case.
That's right. I mean, it's part of the whole Me Too movement, and I think it had bipartisan support to have these kinds of ethics rules. And, you know, I guess I have to say that ethics rules need to be applied fairly and equitably, and you really don't get a pass, you know, because it was consensual, for example. That's not the issue. Obviously, when you're dealing with these kinds of relationships, there's always an imbalance of power. That's just the reality. And I think rules like this are trying to address that.
Jane Kirtley, as always, we so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and talking with us on Air Talk.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. From the University of Minnesota, she's professor of media ethics and law at the School of Journalism and Mass Communication. You can share your comments about media coverage of this on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Again, the Congresswoman Katie Hill of Southern California denying that she has had a relationship with one of her members of her House staff. It's AirTalk on 89.3 KPECC.